let us communicate this better to you, that we're trying to fail fast. We're trying to try different ways of doing things and find out what works best so that we can take those principles and implement it into the workflow. So you are going to see several iterations, and just know that that's okay, because we are a business in transition, and we do need to find out workflows and topics and things that really work for us, and that's going to take some time.
Welcome to the News Nirvana Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. The News Nirvana Podcast features conversations with media professionals from across the country, highlighting our ever-evolving business models and showcasing the strong and effective journalism produced each and every day. This podcast is made possible to you by the generosity of Blocks Digital. Blocks Digital empowers content producers to connect with their worldwide audiences at scale and continuously transform to achieve their business goals. Contact Blocks Digital today to learn more about how they can help you thrive, and you can connect with them at blocksdigital.com. Hello, and welcome back to the News Nirvana Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. With me today, Jared Frank, the newly minted digital sales manager for Kohl's. Congratulations on the promotion, by the way.
And yeah, John, you call it that, yeah, sure.
Hey, look, anytime you change your title, we get to call it a promotion, right?
Sure, yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've changed my title over the 20 years I've been there. But yeah, I'm still doing what I'm doing.
That just means you're working hard and you're successful.
Right?
And welcome, Josh Kidd, streaming director for Block Communications.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
So look, as we've moved in and we're halfway through now our second season of this News Nirvana podcast, there have been kind of two ongoing themes. Everybody's talking about AI right now and how to use it and what our rules should be. And everybody's talking about we have to change our thinking and our workflows to think digital first, to utilize video more often, whether that's building fast channels, whether that's, either better utilizing or instituting OTT. But what we haven't really done is taken really a dive into the hard part of that, which is, okay, we're going to do it. How do we do it? It can be a daunting task, especially I think when people decide to do a fast channel, because then that's a lot of content. How do we actually approach coming up with a plan? And so Jared, when you and I met a week ago, I think, and started talking, you had some interesting thoughts. So I thought that was kind of a good place for us to start. Like, okay, yes, thinking digital first makes sense, but how do we actually do it?
How do we actually do it? And there's two halves to that. There's the technical side of it. Like, how do we set this up? What tools do we use? That kind of thing. Do we build it internally? Do we third party it and have them build it for us? That's the technical part. And you've talked a lot about that, right?
Right.
Then the bigger question is, what do you put on it once you build it? And that's the tricky part. It's fairly simple to build those out. Technically, but it's a real challenge to really think through things and say, what content are we going to put on those channels? And can we monetize it? And is it going to be something that the viewers are going to want? That's the challenge.
Right. And I think, everybody looks and they say, oh, yeah, we have a lot of content. We can repurpose content. We're collecting it in all the different ways, right? We've got written stuff. We've got video. We've got audio. We've got all of the content in all the ways, but it's still, do we have enough?
Yeah, and that was our challenge, because you think, yeah, we're doing so many hours of news during the course of a day. We're broadcasters. That's what we do. And you do, depending on who you are, you do 9, you do 12 more hours of broadcasting news per day. So you figure, yeah, that's easy. We'll just translate that over to the fast channel for the OTT. And what we discovered is that doesn't necessarily translate. Right? Because what you're doing is you're thinking linear first, you're thinking broadcast first. And, with fast and OTT, some of that has a shelf life. It always helps to be live, right? But sometimes it doesn't make sense to be live. And so you got to think, what am I going to program those channels with? And that was our challenge. And we've been through several iterations of what we've done.
Well, and I think, and we'll probably come back to this, I think that's a key thing, is to just acknowledge in the beginning, there are going to be many iterations, and it has to be a fluid plan. Josh, you are streaming director. This is your world. Have you had those same thoughts and processes?
for sure. Anytime you implement something new, you know, to Jared's point, you're either doing 9 or 11 or 12 hours of news per day. When you say that you're going to essentially repurpose that content or provide additional content to more platforms and more channels, the first reaction of the newsroom typically is to freak out, right? So, yes. You know, they're seeing it as more work and whatnot, but there are unique ways to repurpose content, you know, cast a larger net, if you will. You know, at the end of the day, a lot of this is just passive income, right? So you're just sending out the feed to these different platforms, and there's so many different ways for viewers to consume your content now than there was, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. So I think it's just making sure that you're in those places first and foremost. And then after that, get the data and then see how you can tweak it from there. For us, for the most part, when it comes to the FAST channels, you know, you can consume our news live, but then you can also get the replay. We sprinkle in there some playlists for stories every now and then, but other than that, we're just essentially taking our live shows and distributing those, and then you can also get the replays in between. So we haven't really changed much when it comes to the FAST channel approach, but you know, we're putting a lot of resources into OTT.
Well, let's get basic for just a second and talk about the two different things, just so everybody knows. I mean, you know, people in broadcast know, but we've got listeners on all parts of the industry of the differences that we're talking about between a FAST channel and OTT.
Yeah, I mean, so FAST for us is basically other people's, at this point, we don't have our own FAST channel per se, but it's other people's platforms. You know, it's we're going to put our stream on someone else's platform. They have multiple channels available on their app, wherever it may be, Roku, Apple, etc. And that's considered FAST for us, TV Everywhere type of mentality. Then there's OTT, which is, you know, that's our app. That's our branded specific app that we control, not only the content, but also the revenue side of it, the advertising and what happens on that. So there's the difference between the two in our mind.
Yeah, same with us. You know, I would consider, you know, FAST channels for us to be the Pluto, right, the Tubi, Local Now, things like that, which are simply just different distribution points of our shows. Whereas the OTT apps are our owned and operated product, where we have a lot more control over that with original content, live sports, newscasts on demand, things like that.
And so a lot of the attention, if you're talking FAST, a lot of our attention is exactly what Josh said, right? We're going to provide stream to the FAST channel. A lot of it is just newscast, newscast replay. And very rarely are we going to really focus on anything beyond that, because it's kind of like what you said, Josh, is passive, right? We'll take the revenue from that, but we're not going to focus on that entirely. We're going to focus on what's ours. I think that was the lesson we learned from Facebook, to be quite honest, is that's nice that we're programming somebody else's platform, but in the end, it's someone else's platform and they control it. And if this FAST channel over here decides one day to totally change the model, then we're up a creek. So we have to develop our own and try to keep ownership of what we own.
I think that's a good point and good comparison too. When Facebook first boomed, right, we were all trying to figure out how do we program for them.
When it was this concerted effort, like you got to be on Facebook, you got to be live on Facebook, you got to update Facebook, you know, multiple times a day. And then it was like, okay, we're not making any money off of this.
Right.
So, you know, this couple of years of, you know, Facebook being top of mind, and then it was like, okay, let's pump the brakes a little bit, because at the end of the day, it's not moving the needle in terms of revenue.
Right. I think that's been a struggle with a lot of people, is you need it, right? You have to have those social media presence, but it doesn't make us money, and it doesn't always lead to traffic back to our platforms.
Right.
Right. No, and that's really been the goal, right, is to get the traffic back to your own platforms. That's really where our focus is right now, because that's something we can control. And And so a lot of our workforce, a lot of our attention, a lot of our efforts are now geared towards producing content for our own platform and getting as many people to our own platform as we can. Right now, that's OTT, right? Our own apps on Roku, Apple, Fire, etc. Who knows? Does the future hold for us a fast channel of our own? I don't know, you know, but that's something that we have to consider and we have to look at long term. Something that, yeah, we are looking at. But for now, let's focus on producing content for what we own, which is OTT.
To your point, I think, you know, what does the future look like? I mean, if we revisit this conversation a year from now, I mean, who knows how things are going to look, right?
Yeah.
You know, just two or three years ago, none of this was even, the things we're discussing now weren't even a thing. So just the way that this industry is changing at a rapid pace, it's pretty intriguing, but you got to stay on top of it too, or you'll get left behind. So it's interesting.
And I wonder, this is going a little different than I thought, but I wonder too, like how important it is for us to have those owned channels, because the social media world is in such a, especially right now, such a state of flux, right? Like, is Twitter going away? I don't know.
It's X, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. X. You know, Meta launched Threads. Is that actually going to turn into a thing? Who knows?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You know, there's the others, there's Blue Sky, there's all these others that are trying to pop up. But to me, that makes it even more important that we own our own places.
Well, I think that's what's going to accelerate the change in the future, because we learned lessons in the past from other platforms where we basically gave our content to them. And then we pulled back because we realized we're playing by their rules and it doesn't benefit us. It's a sugar high in the short term.
In the
long term, you know, we just get diabetes and die. So we have to be careful with that. And we have to spend our time and resources on creating something new and creating something that we own that we can control and control our own destiny instead of, you know, playing off the coattails of somebody else.
Yeah. Those platforms too are putting, you know, procedures in place to essentially not eliminate news, but to give us reasons to not put anything there, because they want you to stay on their platform,
yeah.
Right? As opposed to leaving to go to our website or what have you. So we'll see. I think in a couple of months, maybe none of us will be using Facebook for news.
Right. Yeah. Who knows? I mean, you know, Canada's going through a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's shift back to content a little bit. You both talked about how replay is a big deal for you. But let's talk about, you know, everybody says repurpose. We're gathering lots of content. We can repurpose it for the different channels and different avenues of delivery. What does repurpose mean to you guys as you're looking at the content that your staffs are producing?
For us, you know, before we kind of, you know, rebranded our OTT app, essentially it was a recycling center of what you would get on the website or the shows. I think repurposing that in a way within your user interface that's more interactive with the audience, and, you know, in terms of replay, how do you structure your newscast replay? Is it just simply a replay of the newscast, or can you take the last 18 to 24 hours of news and build out sort of a separate playlist with different anchors, different anchor intros, and then apply relevant timestamps and relevant weather information at the end of those segments. So essentially you're getting a replay of the news, but it seems a lot newer to the viewer. I think that's an important way to approach sort of the repurposing of news on OTT platforms specifically.
Yeah, we've considered doing that. And I'm going to turn it on its side a little bit in repurposing. What we're trying to do is flip the script. And forever, you know, our stations have been focused on newscasts, linear newscasts on broadcast. And then taking what we've done on broadcast and putting it on digital. And whether that be repurposed with different anchors or different intros or what have you, it's all the same, right? You're just repurposing it. And what we're trying to do is flip the script and say, let's start with digital and for all intents and purposes, make our linear newscasts at 5 and 6 and 11 repurpose what we do for digital, right? And that's a monumental task. It's really hard to get these broadcasters to think digital first and say, hey, my audience is digital. All right, now everything that we've done during the day, what can we put into a newscast and make that your secondary focus? But we're seeing some good results with that.
How long have you guys been doing that?
It's really been first of the year is where we really tried to make that shift. And like everything, you know, there are fits and starts and stops and restarts and everything like that, right? But we're seeing some really good progress on that. And I guess the classic example is just happened this last week with breaking news, where digital was first. And if you compare the broadcast numbers with the digital numbers, won't get into specifics, but it paid off. It definitely paid off.
Was there some, I don't know if pushback is the right word, when you tried to roll this out, but.
Definitely pushback, you know, from every level and in every department. It's like, you're moving the cheese. And, you're changing a model, which has been in place for 70 years. And so, there is pushback, but it's also freeing to some people who really want to produce good content and, you know, let it breathe on other platforms. So it's been freeing, but also a challenge. Yeah. Especially to those who have been in the business for a long time. It's like, hey, you know, I signed up to be a TV broadcaster, linear, you know, this digital stuff is all new. I don't want to do that. That's for the digital team. And we're trying to change that.
I would assume about 8 months in, people are starting to come around to it.
Yeah, people are starting to come around to it. And the more we show them the numbers and we show them the patterns, it's only going to get better.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that is huge just to get a mind shift change of the first thing to go out is to our digital channels.
Yeah.
And that's the more, I mean, that's the more immediate avenue anyway, right? Like if we are chasing breaking news, which let's be honest, real breaking news is not as common as most of us want to believe it is. But you know, that's immediacy because that's where your audience is at.
Yeah. And so it doesn't necessarily change the definition of breaking news, but it allows you to do more of it and to look for it. Right. Because you know that that's where your audience demands it. If we're going to produce these fast channels or OTT apps and we say that it's 24/7 always on, then we have to deliver that or else it becomes hollow and then we become irrelevant. So we have to make a concerted effort at doing what we say we're going to do if we want 24/7. And quite frankly, the research that we have done shows that people want that. They want local because there's a dearth of it, right?
Right.
And they want more of it. They also want it to be relevant, timely, and real. You know, they don't want couch fires. They want
everybody loves a good couch fire. I mean, come on.
Police chases are better, but yeah.
Well, yeah.
I joke about the couch fire, but I mean, sometimes they turn into something else, but I digress.
When it comes to, you know, filling that 24/7 cycle, right? Because digital never sleeps, essentially.
Yeah.
For smaller markets, you know, there's not a lot going on.
Yeah.
So trying to fill that, it can be tough, you know, and something that we've struggled with here is just the repetitiveness of trying to fill that, right? So I'm a firm believer that, you know, cover more national and worldwide news. I mean, there's a lot going on in the world that, frankly, is more important to us than what's going on at the local level and affects us more. So what is your take on, you know, that aspect of it? Have you guys talked about you know, ever since you've taken this new digital approach, covering more worldwide or national news, as opposed to trying to cast a larger net at the local level?
Yeah, I think that has played into it. And we do that to some extent because, you know, we use the definition of local pretty broadly. Local isn't necessarily what happens in your local markets, but what is important to the people in your local area. So, you know, the Republican debate last night, yeah, that may not be local, but it has local interest. Mm-hmm. Right? And so it's local news. And that's something that you cover. And, well, Fox won't give you the video. So,
right.
You get my point. You have to expand your horizons. But the other thing that it does, you know, if you're focused on this local and you're focused on your OTT and what you own, is it allows you to breathe a little bit. You know, no longer are you beholden to the minute and a half packages VOSOP from your reporters out in the field, but it allows you to take those stories and broaden them and treat them a little bit differently, and you're not beholden to time, so you can go more long form when it requires it. You can do talkbacks, you can, you know, break that topic out. You know, one of the things that we've experimented with is to do topic driven days for our digital channels. You know, whether that be a day on, you know, cancer, whether that be, you know, any relevant timely topic that we need to address. I think there was a mental health day that we did. And so we'll take, maybe not, you know, 24/7, but a good chunk of the day is dedicated to producing local stories of interest on that particular topic that's relevant. And that allows us to fill more space in that linear channel on digital. And also provides some decent stuff that we can, for lack of a better term, repurpose on linear broadcast and make an impact there as well. So that's one of those iterations that we've gone through, right? But that's kind of the last one that we've landed on.
The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Blox Digital. Blox Digital empowers content producers to connect with their worldwide audiences at scale and continuously transform to achieve their business goals. Contact Blox Digital today to learn more about how they can help you thrive. Connect with them at BloxDigital.com.
I really like that. And I think, you know, over the last few minutes, you said a couple things. You know, one was people do want more local. They want to, you know, they want to know what's happening in their backyard. They want to know how whatever you're talking about affects them. But then to be able to expand and do bigger stories. Have you seen your reporters and your photographers have really kind of, are they the ones to lean in first because they get to do a little bit more?
It's funny because you would think that they would be the leaders on this because they don't want to be cut, right?
Right.
Tell their story. That's why they got into the business. I want to tell these great stories. But then you tell them, okay, you got 5 minutes to do your story. And it's like, 5 minutes, I can't do that. You know? So yes and no. But this latest iteration is really interesting because on one hand, it's a stress because you've got to totally change your focus of doing your 1 minute packages for broadcast and instead, you know, blow it up and go bigger. And that is a stress for them. But on the other hand, it is freeing and it gives them an opportunity. And so you kind of have this, they resist and embrace at the same time because it's just new.
Right. Yeah. New's always hard.
It's uncomfortable for them. But once they get into the pattern of it, it's like, oh, okay, this is all right. I can get into this. And those who already are doing the long form pieces love it because they can do whatever they want on that piece.
So when it comes to the day to day, you know, you mentioned digital first, essentially linear second, right? Yeah. When it comes to the day-to-day of the day turn news packages, if you will, have you guys given them directive to produce a 2 to 3 to 4 minute piece and then a cut down for the linear shows? Because I would imagine that the show producers aren't going to roll with a 4 minute package, right? Correct. So is that kind of the approach
that's kind of the approach. It's you know, go as long as you want on this, tell the story, and then for broadcast, here's your time. You got a minute 25. Okay, so we'll do a version for that, you know.
So think long form first.
Yeah.
And then yeah.
Yeah, if it requires long form, then yeah, go long form.
I don't know, my old writer brain, and like print is my background, but my old writer brain is always like, you only give me 100 words, I need 10,000.
Yeah. Right. And it depends on who you talk to and what the topic right. is, but yeah, that's the mindset. And we're trying to get more people to think like that, because it is, like we talked about, it is a big shift.
Well, it's muscle memory.
Yeah, it is muscle memory. And we don't have it down perfectly. You know, I talk about it and I say, this is what we're doing, but the fact of the matter is it's something in progress. Well, but it's where we're trying to train our people to go.
We've kind of hit on this a couple times, and so I'm curious for the two of you and your departments and staffs, you know, how important is it to kind of preach that we have to have this flexibility? You've got to be ready to rethink and readjust just because technology changes, audience use of these channels changes. You know, you're going to always have a new iteration. How important is it that everybody just needs to, when they're thinking digital first, needs to think also flexibility?
Yeah, I'll take that first, because that we learned a lesson when we went through a brand change not too long ago, and we started focusing in on this digital first mindset. There was a lot of confusion, and I think we could have done better at communicating it, but it came to a head when we made another iteration, we made a change, and a lot of the staff was a little upset, like, we don't know what we're doing, you know? And so then the phrase became, hey guys, let us communicate this better to you, that we're trying to fail fast. We're trying to try different ways of doing things and find out what works best so that we can take those principles and implement it into the workflow. So you are going to see several iterations, and just know that that's okay. Cause we are a business in transition, and we do need to find out workflows and topics and things that really work for us, and that's going to take some time. And since then, people are like, okay, I get it now. So we're willing to roll with the punches a little more. That doesn't mean that people aren't frustrated with the changes and different iterations, but at least it's expected now that, yeah, okay, what we're doing now, it may be frustrating for one reason or another, but it's going to get better because we can change what doesn't work.
No, that's cool. We're in a completely different spot here. Than where you're at, Jared, in terms of internally our digital focus. Since we rebranded our OTT channel, we haven't changed much in terms of workflow within the newsroom, but I'm very intrigued to hear that that's the approach that you guys are taking there, and it seems to be working well, you know, up to this point, you know, with some, you know, minor hiccups in the beginning, which is expected anytime you rip the Band-Aid off. Right. I mean, you've been yeah. doing something the same way for 70 years. But, you know, we've hired content producers to produce original content for our OTT platform. And we've had that implemented for a month. So we're slowly starting to get the data back, and then we can make adjustments from there in terms of how it's presented on the platform and whatnot. But we haven't changed much internally as far as our digital focus within the newsroom, outside of, you know, the norm, which is, you know, you got to write a separate script for web and things like that. But having them create content for digital and then cut it down for linear, I think is a really solid approach that I'm actually going to talk to them about after we get done with this call.
There you go.
And so I really your like colleagues listening are going to be a little upset at you right now.
Right.
No, and I think that's great that you've hired content producers specifically for that platform. I think that's fantastic, because it shows everybody else where your focus is. Mm-hmm. And I kind of envy that, that you have people specific to that platform producing content. And yeah, I mean, the only difference is, you know, we're trying to move everybody over to that. But I think some combination of what we've got going on would be pretty successful in the long run.
Well, the initial thought for me was, you know, to justify hiring producers was to check off multiple boxes. You know, is the original content that we're going to produce, will it generate revenue? So we're trying to check that box. Is it going to be interesting or entertaining or hold some type of value to the viewer? Trying to check that box. Yeah. And then promote this content and get the word out, so that way it'll generate more eyeballs and sampling on the platform. So if we can give people a reason to go to the platform, whether you're there to consume news, or whether you're there to consume live sports, or whether you're there to consume, you know, an original TV series or style show that you know, for me, it's just trying to build the brand of the platform as strong as we possibly can, in hopes that people will continue to return to consume that content, no matter what it is. So providing a wide range of content outside of just the typical news and replay of news was really important, you know, for me in the initial stages of the rebrand and launch of our OTT platform.
So can I ask a question on that? Sorry. But so when you talk about different range of content, what have you experimented with? Have you found one type of content works better than another for revenue and traffic?
Yeah. So right now it's the bright, shiny object, right? So we approach a client and we have a Netflix style landing page, for instance, for our Weather Plus is what we would call it. Or we have this original show that, that I wrote up called Crossroads. And it's essentially, we're traveling around the states of Indiana and Kentucky and highlighting unique places, small towns, kind of reinvigorating that community pride, if you will. So we would approach clients and we would have this landing page with, you know, you can be the title sponsor of the series. Mm-hmm. And then you get this real estate essentially on the app. And then I can also create this content in a playlist on a pseudo linear stream that's right next to our 24/7 news stream. So it's taking up really two pieces of real estate within the app. So it's getting more eyeballs.
Right.
So that's doing pretty well. The live sports, we had our first live football game last week. It did very well. So between the news, the sports, and then that specific show that I mentioned, those are the top three most consumed pieces of content on our app. And, you know, I've got a lot more stuff going on inside the brain here that I would like to implement, but it's a resource thing at this point. So we'll see where it goes. But then we also built a studio specifically for WDRB Plus. So we're starting to produce original shows out of there. The first one being a sports podcast style show. We actually plucked 10 years ago two veteran newspaper sports reporters and brought them over to write for the web. And then we've slowly implemented them over the years onto TV. And they're going to be the hosts of this, of the sports show. So we're in a very sports centric market in Louisville, with college athletics. And then we're surrounded by, you know, surrounding markets that have, you know, professional sports, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Nashville. So we have our final run through today, in hopes that we'll have our first pre-recorded show launch on Monday.
That's awesome. And I love that you're doing this, that sports angle for a couple of reasons. One, that's where I started with sports writing. So I love it. We had a high school sports podcast for a few years before the pandemic, which ruined everything. But I think that's a good segue, because sports to me is one of those places still where, and you guys have talked about this already, you got to think about the revenue too. Is it going to generate revenue? And I feel like local sports is one of those places, kind of a low hanging fruit, where we can still go get at revenue for that kind of additional programming.
Well, absolutely. You know, I can't remember how many years now, 10 years ago, we started a sports channel. specific for that reason, right? On our .2. And so, yeah, a lot of the revenue we make on streaming is tied to sports, you know, live sports events. And we are, I like your thinking, Josh, we're thinking down that road as well as producing, you know, content, sports specific content that isn't live games, but it's, you know, your talk show type format. So nice to see that you've gone down that road where we're going to have to talk. But that definitely is a huge opportunity. And the episodic content, I think that's gold right there. And it's not news per se, but if you look at it, and what we're looking at is, yes, you can get advertising revenue, but you also get sponsorship revenue. Then you get some sponsored content revenue in there. So there's many different angles and facets of that effort right there that we're really looking at that is attractive.
And it's not just revenue, but new revenue, right? So it's the new dollars coming in.
Right.
That's nice. And you know, we lucked out because, you know, we have a private school here locally that has a very robust multimedia program. So they've got a control room, four cameras situated on the field in the press box, color commentary. So the students are actually running the broadcast. So we don't have to pump any resources into the live game other than dropping off a live view unit and taking the feed. So
beautiful.
It's a really unique situation. And to be honest, the production is far better than anyone expected, considering that it's high school students. They've got instant replay.
The technology these schools have now is amazing.
Oh, it's awesome. And we had people from, you know, we didn't internally promote it the first game because we wanted to see how it went. But they promoted it to their alumni. And there are people watching it from Italy and California and all over the country and world essentially. So that was really unique to see.
I love that. And I think that's a great tip for everybody is to don't forget about the resources of partnering with your local schools.
For sure. And these kids, they're sponges, right? They're not doing it. They're not doing this because they have to, they're doing it because they want to.
Right.
So being able to tap into that potential resource, you know, for you going down the road when these kids get out of school, you've already kind of built that relationship. And if they want to come back home to work, you know, why not come work for us?
Great recruiting.
I'm curious, and you can edit this out if you want, but is there any compensation back to the school?
No. So when I originally approached them with this idea, I saw this as being mutually beneficial. And here's why. Throughout the entirety of the broadcast, whether we're pregame, postgame, or at halftime, it's essentially a promo for the school. So this is a private school. So obviously there's tuition involved, right? They create pre-produced content to run during those, you know, times that I mentioned, pregame, postgame, halftime, that is really just a promo for the school.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I approached them, they were extremely excited about it. We haven't sponsored it at all. Although after we saw the numbers for the first game, it was kind of like, maybe we should pursue this. So, you know, those emails started flying around this week, but, you know, at the end of the day, for me, it was just another way to generate downloads of the app, and more eyeballs and you know, lead to sampling of other content and things like that.
For sure.
We have in the past iterations of partnerships I've done, we've given donations back to like the school's foundation or something like that, or maybe if a school needed a piece of equipment, you know, we would donate toward a drive for their media centers.
For sure. I could see this turning into a much bigger partnership, you know, if you will. But
and schools now are looking for industry partners. You know, they want their kids to be more, you know, a lot of schools now are switching toward career-ready education rather than teaching to the ACTs, right? So, you know, they're looking for more partners like us, and it's another way too to keep us high relevancy in the community. by being partners for these students.
For sure. Yeah,
definitely agree.
Well, guys, I think this has been kind of a fun conversation. It didn't go actually all of the places I thought we were going to go, but I think I think this has been great.
Yeah, no, I appreciated Josh's viewpoints on the types of content that you're looking at. I think that's where the industry needs to go, producing content other than newscasts for those platforms, because that type of local content is important for the community. And it further embeds you into the community, and hopefully we get some money off of that too, right?
For sure, for sure. And you know, it's we're in this like content creator world now, right? And a lot of content creators aren't thinking to go work for a local TV station. It's just not a thing. But if you look internally and you set people up to kind of be in that content creator role, if you know you have some photographers or MMJs or reporters that, you know, have a more authentic delivery, and you have some photographers that you could see if given the opportunity or the resources to create long form content that's not really along the same lines of a traditional day turn package or a digital focused day term package like you guys are doing. I think you'll learn that internally you've got some really talented people, and that will give them incentive to hang around longer, you know, because one thing that we've noticed is if we have a photojournalist position that's open, it's kind of hard to fill it. There's not a whole lot out there anymore, you know, not that that was ever a sexy job, right? But I think there's not a lot of people that are looking to do that now as a career choice, as opposed to 5 or 6 or 7 years ago. So I think just giving your more creative and talented people opportunities to do something outside of the norm will really excite them. And at the end of the day, will benefit everybody.
I think that's that freedom that Jared was talking about earlier about, you know, trying to let them see that this is going to give them the freedom to really tell stories in different ways.
For sure.
Yeah. In the end, that's what they want to do. That's what they got into the business for. So let's let them do it.
Right. Yeah. At the end of the day, we're all storytellers.
It's seeing it on all the different platforms is cool too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Airing twice, you know, in the shows, and then, you know, you forget about it, right? It can live for multiple months online or on the OTT platforms and whatnot.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, Jared, Josh, thank you so much for coming on today.
Man, my pleasure. Yeah, thanks for the ideas. Yeah, it's always great to hear people in the industry and float different ideas and see what's working.
Before we go, I'm going to give you guys a chance here to let people know your stations. If they want to reach out to you, hit you up on the social medias, where can they do that?
So that's a good question.
They want to steal your ideas and borrow, pick your brain.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So, you know, I'm at Kohl's, so we've got stations in Eastern Washington and all over Montana, different affiliations. So, I don't know, search for me on LinkedIn. I'm there.
Jared Frank on LinkedIn. Josh?
Yes, I would just encourage, download the WDRB Plus app on Apple Fire, Roku TV. That's kind of what I've been working feverishly on for the last several months. You can find me on LinkedIn. Don't look for me on Facebook unless you want to see 1,000 pictures of my kids.
Right, yeah. I wasn't even going to talk about that. But.
And I love feedback. So I know we're doing something that's a little unconventional. In terms of the norm in this industry, yeah. But what is the norm anymore, right? I feel like it's changing. You
know, yeah, don't right. Look at us as like the total know-it-all experts. We're just experimenting like everybody else,
right?
You know.
Well, I think that's good about what's good about conversations like this is you know, we get to pick each other's brains and we get to see what's working somewhere else, and maybe that might work for us.
Yeah.
I mean, I've made 3 or 4 notes today just for my own little local news org. So just from this. So I appreciate it. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
That'll wrap us up for this episode. We'll talk to everybody next time. The News Nirvana podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or most any of your favorite podcast apps. The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Blox Digital. Connect with them at BloxDigital.com. The News Nirvana podcast is produced by Fredcasts. Think, speak, act.